This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Lana, and I hope you're enjoying your day. I'm about to speak with the fun couple, Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton, formerly with InfoWars and now running their own media website called TruthStreamMedia.com, presenting a teleprompter-free, unscripted analysis of the matrix we live in. Aaron and Melissa created TruthStreamMedia.com as an outlet to examine the news, uncover the deceptions, pierce through the fabric of illusions, know the real enemy, and unshackle from the system, one step at a time so that one day we might truly be free. I also enjoy their fun videos at the grocery store, examining strange ingredients we call food. Hello, Aaron and Melissa. How are you both today?
Hey.
We're all right. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm happy to have you here. For listeners that are unaware of your website, can you both tell us about your background and how you formed TruthStream Media?
Well, TruthStream Media kind of came out of us deciding to leave InfoWars and having a relationship together. So
yeah, we were at InfoWars. I was there after I sort of kind of won a contest they had. And then I went there and I worked there for 9 months, but we decided to leave and go out on our own. And we'd been putting it together behind the scenes, but then the Boston Marathon bombing happened. And so we kind of had to just throw it live before we even knew if we were ready to do it. And just go that day with a report.
Yeah, we were getting ready, so.
We had already had it going, but it wasn't live until that day. And it was just like, oh, we have to go say something about this. There's just no way.
So. There's nothing like running your own website and being your own boss, too. I think that's when you really grow and the whole world opens up to you.
It's even more stressful than working for other people in some ways, but it's liberating, too.
No, yeah. It is. I mean, I've learned so much. I don't know. I get up in the morning and I think, what am I going to find out today? I mean, we spend so much time just researching and reading and saying, hey, did you know about this? And it's pretty crazy. It's great though. It's great.
Well, you guys have been putting out some great articles detailing dangerous food ingredients. And it seems like there's a new chemical additive popping up every day. So you get rid of one and then another worse one takes its place. What are some of the main ingredients currently on your radar that you are avoiding?
Oh, geez, what's the latest one? Carrageenan. That's the latest one that we've found out about that we're really pretty freaked out about. It's in all of the organic foods, actually. They were going to take it out, and there's a whole drama around why they didn't end up taking it out. But essentially, carrageenan is like, they say it's like poison ivy for your digestive system.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's used in a lot of the organic foods. As a preservative.
Well, it's in the class of emulsifier preservatives,
yes.
Which are especially used, when you've got milk and fats working together or oils and water, it kind of congeals
things.
You'll
see it in a lot of the meats. Like if you go and try to buy some meat that has no preservatives, no nitrates, and it was responsibly raised, it'll still have it in there.
And it's frustrating because it's not even technically necessary. It's one of these cosmetic things because obviously, oil and water would separate to one degree or another, or, cream from unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk, for instance. But because they want products to look uniform and always the same for consumers, they use emulsifiers. A lot of them are completely synthetic. Carrageenan comes from seaweed, so sounds harmless and natural, but the way it's extracted, makes it very irritating to the digestive system. And a lot of people seek organic foods in particular and that label because, some people are healthy and just want to stay healthy. Other people are trying to get over a number of illnesses, which is a laundry list a million miles long. But digestive orders have been just spiking off the roofs. Genetically modified foods are really aggravating them. People with irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's disease and celiac disease or gluten intolerance, and they're seeking organic foods, probably not realizing that carrageenan is in there, which again, they don't have to use, but they've chosen to use. And it's probably irritating a lot of those people in that area, irritating their gastro issues.
Well, I'll have to look in the ingredients. Even meat, huh? When you buy raw meat from a butcher?
Yeah, they put that in there to keep the water in there so that
you
it can weigh
ask.
More basically.
You have to ask if it's in there. This is something that on record they've used to induce colon tumors in laboratory animal studies.
Oh my god.
So that's what they use it to do. And that they've done that for decades. They've done that. And so it's not like this isn't well known. And all of the health studies that are out there, if you look into the studies that say this stuff is good for you, they're all done. You can find industry ties in all of them. Like, there's no study out there that's like, this is great for you, that's an independent study that some guy just did. No, it's all industry favorites. And the National Organic Standards Board was actually going to take it out, and they kept it in by one member vote. This woman who's on the board got up and presented research as if it was from a United Nations food agency, when in fact it was actually part of a lobby for the carrageenan lobby, basically. So it's, I mean, that's the kind of corruption you're finding is stuff like that.
And people have to remember, too, when they go to Whole Foods, you still need to read the labels. Just because it's at Whole Foods doesn't mean that it's healthy.
Yeah, and the whole larger organics movement is, it's difficult because, obviously, we want to find the healthiest foods we can. Most people live in cities at this point. It's a great idea to go raise your own foods and do organic, you know, your way, where you know everything that's going in. It's just not happening on a practical level. We would like to move to that point, but we're not there. And so we rely on these grocery stores. And we go to farmers market sometimes, but, you know, the grocery store is still a viable option. But corporately, it's a lot of the same companies, and companies that did start off organically that maybe had the right intentions have been largely absorbed by the same Fortune 100 companies that are involved in so much of the other corruption of this world, and obviously have some element of evil at their core, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah. And now I've been seeing several articles, you guys have pointed this out too, that organic food is not healthier than non-organic food.
Yeah, well, that's all coming out because Stanford did a study, and they said that that organic food is not better nutritionally than conventional or genetically modified food, even though there are independent studies that we've seen that actually show that it is. But the way they spun that is just a complete lie, because the reason that people buy organic food is not because they necessarily think, oh, this organic apple is going to have much more vitamins and nutrients in it than this conventionally grown apple. They're buying it because they don't want it to be covered in chemicals and pesticides and all kinds of other crap that they put on the food when it's conventionally grown. I mean, that's the main reason that most people buy organic. Although there are studies that show that organic food does have more nutritional value.
Yeah, of course.
But they went ahead and just ran with that headline. And most people are headline surfers. They're not even looking into the actual study behind what's being said. But then when you go in, I mean, the Academy of Pediatrics, they even put out a report, and they said, you know, organic food is not better for your kids than conventional food based on that study. And they made a whole determination about it. And the guy that co-wrote the report for the Academy of Pediatrics, he said that there are no long-term studies to show that eating less pesticide is healthier for you. I can't get over that. I still cannot get over that. So if there's no long-term study that says, that specifically says in the study, that eating less pesticide is healthier for you, then obviously you should just eat as much pesticide as you possibly can, because there's no long-term study to say so. There's no long-term study that says I shouldn't go outside and light myself on fire right now either. Am I doing it? No. I mean, this is where we're down to now. It's all about what the studies say. And I just think it's funny. We get people to argue with us all the time because it's science, right? If it has the banner of science, yeah. It's all sparkly and special because it's science. Science is owned. Science is owned. The science
well, it's
is
prostituted.
Run by
they won't ask the right questions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It is whoever's paying the bill on that science, quote unquote, mm-hmm. that's going to ask you, you know, they're going to do the study for whoever's giving them the paycheck.
Yeah. That's
you know,
right.
I mean, and the money is not behind. I mean, you know, it's kind of like people arguing about climate science instead of climate science. But, you know, the majority of people that try to do any kind of studies that show or bring out the data to show that the earth is actually cooling, those people's names get smeared. They get their funding pulled. They get their jobs threatened. I mean, those people are marginalized big time.
That's
they're
right.
attacked. So, yeah. I mean, but that's what it's like with the food. The same. It's the same way. And when studies finally come out showing, like, say, for example, MSG, all the studies came out on monosodium glutamate showing that was really bad. It was causing all kinds of developmental defects and everything else. And people were up in arms against the FDA. They were like, why is this approved? Why is this in my baby's food? I don't understand what's going on, why that's in there. And, you know, the FDA goes and they get a panel of scientists to review it, right? And all of those scientists have conflicts of interest. So, you know, they go and get this panel to prove that it's okay to you for the people, and they all have conflicts of interest. And it's done like that time and again. Aspartame was the same way. I mean, I think it's basically just, it's almost like a damage control situation. They're just going to let everything be in the food. And then when stuff gets so bad that finally they have to do something about it, maybe they will. It's kind of like with BPA. I mean, BPA is a xenoestrogen. There are a bajillion studies out there to show that it causes cancer in all kinds of places in your body. It's very bad for you. But if you go on the FDA's website, their statement is, well, we approved it so long ago. It was like 40 years ago, and there's so thousands of formulations of it out there. And so, I mean, this would take a lengthy rulemaking process if we ever wanted to, you know, really have to do something about revoking BPA. And it's like, meanwhile, France is banning it completely. Mm-hmm. All these other countries are like, get it out of there. It's killing people. It's very bad for you. Our FDA is like, but that's going to be so much work if we have to do something about this BB. I mean, you know, just can you just get cancer? Just have some cancer.
Yeah, because, they want us to have it.
It's like, what? You're supposed to be protecting people? That's your mission?
Well, what drives me nuts is that people actually pay attention to them instead of doing their own research. I mean, common sense says pesticides are neurotoxins. I should not be eating those.
But people, I mean, right?
They just wait for the government to tell them what's safe. That drives me nuts.
I mean, you wouldn't go under your cabinet in your kitchen and pull out every bottle with a skull and crossbones on it and dump it into your plate and eat it. You wouldn't do that, right?
Nope.
But if it's sprayed on the food in some nebulous place that you can't see because it's off in a field at some farmer's place, then it's like, oh, it's out of sight, out of mind. I guess I can eat as much pesticide and chemicals. I mean, there are 70,000 chemicals in commerce in the United States. 70,000. And 1,000 more are made on average every year. And that's just in the food chain. It's in the air, water, soil. It's all over the place.
Yeah, we're killing ourselves off, basically.
Essentially.
And a lot of it's byproducts because, obviously, this is a world based around petroleum. The Rockefellers reign supreme. They're not, obviously, the single wealthiest family. There's other people behind them. Rothschilds and probably names that are not even as familiar, even to the audience that's been following this stuff. But these robber baron types who've industrialized the world, petroleum being one of the chief constituents, have made all this stuff for industry, for the enrichment of bankers, and have just raped and looted and pillaged all the governments that are meant to act as an intermediary between our interests as people. And then when they're done industrializing those products and selling them to us, they dump the leftover waste into our food, into our water, etc., and find a way to pass it off as safe and acceptable and enhancing. And basically, our food is this dead corpse matter that's dressed up in lipstick and makeup and made to smell good and look nice. And it's nutritionally void. It's so weird.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not even just that. It's like when's the last time anybody read their shampoo bottle? And just look at the list of ingredients. You can't even pronounce half of that stuff.
Then you shouldn't be buying it.
Why isn't it just soap? Why isn't it just soap? What am I actually putting on my head? You know?
So is this just because these people are greedy and these ingredients are cheap and they don't want to use natural ones? Or is this a deeper conspiracy here?
Well, I think it all runs to eugenics, but I think it's...
Ultimately.
I think it's the economics of wanting to socially engineer people, but also make money. So... why not create bubbles? Ride the up and down of people expanding their lifestyles after World War II and then making money off of them getting sick from the cancer. And then as these things multiply and there's more byproducts and more waste, just keep repackaging it in new ways and ride the next bubble.
We'll just put it in everything.
And meanwhile, people are having lower fertility rates globally. They're more and more under autocratic rule, collectivist rule. And the bankers are gaining more power every year.
I mean, they're saying our generation is going to be the first generation that lives shorter lifespans than our parents.
Oh,
and I mean, I don't know if you've seen the movie Children of Men, but I feel like we're watching it happen in slow motion right now.
Yeah, you mentioned the infertility rates, and they're obscene in young people even. I mean, this is a huge billion-dollar industry now, people trying to get pregnant through injections and medications and going to scientists. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Fertility clinics everywhere. I mean, it didn't used to be that way. None of it used to be that way. It's kind of like with all these diseases that are coming up around all the stuff that's being put in the food, and they can be directly correlated. I think Jeffrey Smith and his genetic roulette, we were just watching that the other day, and he has all these charts that show, you know, when genetically modified food hit, you can see like skyrocketing increases in all kinds of autoimmune disorders and everything else. I mean, you've got kids getting type 2 diabetes off the charts. That didn't used to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got high fructose corn syrup, and there's all this debate about high fructose corn syrup and if it's the same as sugar. And if it's fine in moderation, like the commercials say, right? But people don't even realize when they're looking at that, that stuff is made with mercury cell technology. So it's made with toxic heavy metals on top of everything else, right?
Mm.
I mean, there's always something else. It's not just what they show you. But I mean, this country, I mean, all this stuff that's being put in the food, it's lobbies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all these trade associations everywhere selling it to people. Like, you got to have it. It's great. It's wonderful. It's good for you. And they're just going to keep telling you that. And then with the fertility thing, they're going to be like, well, it's fine because the world's overpopulated. So it doesn't matter if, you know, if the, I mean, I just saw an article about France the other day that they've now fallen below replacement rate officially.
And they've got a great new bubble from this eugenics wise because, again, the Rockefeller families, I like to hone in on them as the quintessential example of one of the families that seem to be involved in every aspect of this larger system of control. But they've been hammering home the pseudoscience of eugenics ever since it came out of Britain in the late 1800s. And, you know, based off of Darwin's findings and Huxley and Galton. And they've been using that to introduce a very serious social engineering aspect, being able to tell people if they're allowed to reproduce or not. Now, over the past 50 years, the fertility rate has fallen so much that the global fertility rate is 2 point something and replacement is 2.1, right? So the global fertility rate, including in Africa and Asia and Latin America and all the other developing countries where we're told they're having so many babies it's out of control, all those rates are falling towards right at above replacement level. The Western world's under replacement level, but population will continue to grow for another 40 years before it falls because of the generation effect. So they will be able to continue to exploit the idea that there's overpopulation for the next half century while they know full well that demographically things are about to fall out.
It's going to plateau and drop off. Well, and they always talk about the developing nations and how, you know, they got all the, they're having all those babies.
Yeah.
You know, some of those African countries, the life expectancy is, you know, 45 years.
And China and India, they're killing little infants too, little girls, right?
State forced abortions, yeah.
It's really sick.
It's terrible.
And they've just thrown out all their humanity to try to get the numbers at what they say they want to be manageable. And look at children of men. What happens when the birth rate falls, you know, for the sake of a drama, all the way to zero? What happens when no one has children? The entire support structure of the economy of society falls out, and a police state is basically all that can result. We know politically what they want.
Exactly. Well, it's like I always think of the Georgia Guidestones when I start thinking about that, because that's what they want. I mean,
and then the Rockefellers, they also funded the anti-fertility vaccine. And also the first synthetic estrogen, which they gave to 3 million women, which gave a bunch of them cancer. Some died.
Yeah, I was very poor growing up, and I actually was on the depo shot early in college, and I have had female problems ever since then that I've had to deal with, very painful issues that I've had to deal with. I mean, I don't want to get too personal. I know this interview, but I mean, that depo shot is deadly. That's horrible. And I mean, I've seen stories. I was not educated back then. I was not awake. I had no idea. I just did. I mean, I did what I trusted my medical officials. I trusted the allopathic medicine system. I mean, I trusted the government. I mean, I was like, you know, I was a little girl, but I mean, and then I read now and there are stories that come out and they say, oh, in Israel, they don't give that to the rich white Jewish women.
No,
they only give that to the poor Ethiopian women. And it's like that here. They give that out at Planned Parenthoods to the poor neighborhoods and to the minority groups.
That's right.
People like I was. That's who they give the depo shot to. I wonder what that is.
Exactly. You have to question all birth control, even birth control pills. I mean, what is that really doing to women?
Exactly.
Well, and what do you see with the Rockefeller anti-fertility vaccines? They wanted it in general for many years. It's been written into dystopic novels. It was the subject of John Holder and the current U.S. Science czar. It was the subject of his book, Eco-Science, that he wrote with the population bomb guy. So it's been talked about. But one of the actual ones they developed for women was using human growth hormone, HCG. And they found that while obviously growth hormone is necessary for the development of a fetus and a healthy pregnancy, that if you put it with a vaccine, it would develop the anti-immune response. It would develop a resistance to that growth hormone, and thus it would terminate the pregnancy. So they learned that they could put HCG on a tetanus toxoid carrier. And so many of the tetanus shots in the third world that have actually been used, they believe, had this HCG.
Spontaneously aborting women's
babies. Yeah, it caused spontaneous abortions. And there's some documentary footage of them in maybe I've got it mixed up. I think it's the Philippines. Women who were having spontaneous abortions. But it's been part of the World Bank program.
Another classification of chemicals here is the endocrine disrupting, estrogen mimicking, gender bending chemicals, which seem to be everywhere. So is this also, were these also unleashed to make us infertile? Is this another population control in your view?
Well, I'll give you one hint. Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, long-term financed by the Rockefeller family since the beginning of her career. She was also the founder of Endocrinology Magazine back in the 1920s. I don't know if that gives you a clue.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. What do you want to say? You know, BPA is the most well-known, but it's an issue with all these plastics.
I mean, anytime you look into any of those petrochemical byproducts, you'll find xenoestrogen somewhere in the literature. I mean, it's everywhere. And they're everywhere. And they make it sound almost, I mean, even like I said earlier on the FDA's website when they say, you know, but we approved it so long ago. It's like they're bumbling and we just didn't know. So we just approved it. Now what do we do? Because it's everywhere and it's so ubiquitous. I mean, you can't even get away from it. One of the studies that I recently wrote an article about, the lady who authored it was talking about how even people that hadn't been around BPA that had supposedly detoxified from BPA or so they could get base levels still had BPA in their blood. So
Didn't you come across a study the other day that said they couldn't do a study on BPA in the U.S. because so much of the population?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they basically, it's so ubiquitous. We're around it. It's everywhere. It's in everything to the point that, I mean, I don't know. I guess you'd have to go climb a tree and hang out in the woods in the middle of nowhere for, I don't even know. I mean, it's supposed to come out. It's supposed to come out and go through your body relatively quickly. But yet, even when they said they got people who said they weren't, you know, they stayed away from cooking with plastic and drinking out of plastic and they tried to stay away from plastic as much as they could so they could get baselines, they couldn't get baselines because they still had it in their blood. So, I mean, they're saying they can't even do proper safety studies on it in this country.
Yeah, I've read other studies too of people who wear a lot of synthetic clothing. They've given, basically done pee tests on them and they've found flame retardants in their urine. So good stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, there's a new documentary and I can't recall the name of it right off the top of my head at the moment, but it's about how flame retardants in your furniture and in the office chair you sit in and all that stuff are actually contributing to the wave of breast cancer, because breast cancer is, it's, I think it, you have a, what is it, like a 1 in 2 chance or something over the age of 45? I don't think off the top of my head right now, but it's really high now.
Yeah.
Cancer in general is really high. It's amazing. And we keep going back and forth, Aaron and I, on like, what's the tipping point going to be for people to realize how late the hour is with this stuff? Because cancer in this country is 1 in 2 for men and 1 in 3 in women. And even the American Cancer Society admits that. So, you know, and they're actually Rockefeller based. And so they're very hard to find. Like, if you want to look at like data starting, you know, back in the early part of the 1900s even, and try to look at it it's very hard to just go find that. You think they would just have that. They don't. I don't think they really want people to see it.
Yeah.
Because it is so skyrocketing off the charts. I mean, it used to be children didn't have cancer. Now children have all kinds of cancer. The top cancers for children are leukemia and brain cancers, probably because of all the EMF, all the Wi-Fi everywhere. But I mean, cancer is just freaking off the charts. And at some point, I mean, it's like everyone you know. I mean, it gets to the point now where, I mean, there was a month back before Christmas. I don't know if it was October or November. Three people we knew breast cancer in one month. And it's just like, and that's just common now. And it's just accepted. And everyone's like, yeah, that's just how it is. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why people don't just poke their head out of the sand and go, you know, why does everyone I know someone with cancer or have cancer?
Well, you know, Victoria's Secret bras have a lot of formaldehyde in them, and there's been studies done about nylon impacting breast cancer as well. So,
yeah, I read the article on that they found out that their prisoners were making the Victoria's Secret bras.
They were made in prison.
I'll say this about the endocrine disruption. I mean, we're talking about a total assault on the human body because this is your glandular system. This is your hormonal system. Affects men and women, not necessarily equally, but both thoroughly, right? So any kind of thyroid issues, probably closely related. This can trigger obesity, and we know full well it could trigger fertility problems and several very important types of cancer. And it's great that the word has gotten out about bisphenol A and the industry is being forced to back off from it. But already we've seen major issues with BPA-free plastics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people heard about bisphenol S, this other type of bisphenol that is also endocrine disrupting, but other people have taken it even further. There's a firm here in Austin who are making Plastipure bottles and so forth and containers, and also at a company called Certachem, and they began testing a number of the BPA-free plastic bottles and containers and whatnot, and they put forth the argument that most, if not all, over 90% of these plastics all had endocrine activities, maybe, or estrogen-like activities. Maybe they didn't have the bisphenol A. In fact, they were certified bisphenol A-free, but they still carried out estrogen-like activities, mimicked hormones, and affected the endocrine disruption. Now, this guy was testing it, and ended up getting sued by one of the companies, Eastman Products, because they were launching this new grade BPA-free, and he ended up he lost in court and had to stop his investigations. But the rest of us should ask damn good questions about the other types of plastics we continue to drink out of, particularly with hot liquids. But it goes beyond plastics. It's this whole petroleum thing. It's most pesticides, many herbicides, and all these damn hormones and antibiotics that they're putting into the cattle and the poultry and the chickens and whatever other livestock are being eaten. They're being systematically pumped full of these hormones, and maybe not all of them, but enough of them are also estrogen-like or hormone mimicking or testosterone mimicking, etc. And all of this is having an effect on our system. And don't forget that livestock, when they excrete that stuff, that waste,
into the water
it's going in, straight into the water. Yeah. And in many cases, it metabolizes is into a worse type of hormonal thing. So this is a big problem.
You should tell her about the zombie one.
Yeah, we did a story on the zombie endocrine disruptors. Nature magazine had featured a study they did coming out of a cattle feedlot, one of the confined animal feeding operations where they have hundreds of thousands of cows at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all taking, I don't have the article pulled up, but they were taking a certain kind of hormone mimicker with a long scientific name, but is being metabolized into a particularly aggressive endocrine disruptor that was going straight into the water. They knew it affected fish. They knew it affected frogs. But they said, hey, we were testing this stuff. Looked like it was manageable levels. Seemed like it was breaking down in the sunlight. But then they found that if they measured it at night, the levels were surging because, it, like a zombie, it was coming back to life in the middle of the night and depending on the pH level of the water and the lack of sunlight, it was regenerating.
Wow.
That's how pervasive the problem can be. I mean, you can let your imagination run wild, but we better do a lot more testing and avoiding than we're already doing.
Well, and we've seen these chemicals are finding their way into our water supply, as we said, and now they're affecting animals, creating all sorts of sexual dysfunction, strange genitalia, sexually confused animals who cannot mate. I mean, there's been female polar bears with penises. I mean, this is not natural, you know?
It's like the atrazine.
So what's it doing to the little babies in the womb when their mom's using all these products, you know?
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. And they know this. And then the FDA says, well, we'll go ahead and we'll take it out of bottles and sippy cups. And it's like, oh, okay, but every other country's already done that. Now you're way late to the game even doing that. As if that's going to somehow lessen a child. I mean, children still drink out of regular cups. They're still the parents are still putting things in the dishwasher. I mean, it just goes on, and it's in their clothes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so you took it out of the sippy cup. Okay. How many drinks does a kid have in a day in a sippy cup? I mean, that's going to put what, like a 0.5%?
Regardless of which of these thousands of toxins, they all affect small children and, you know, the fetus in the mother's womb the most. It, you know, typically it could cause anything from developmental disorders, neurological disorders, or just, you know, lowered IQ. Or lack of fertility. I mean, it can really damage a baby before it's born. And it's not good for the pregnant mother either,
obviously.
Yeah, but
we live in a country where they're, like, trying to get pregnant women to take their flu shots. And those are filled with formaldehyde and thimerosal and all this other stuff. And they're saying, oh, but now pregnant women have to get the flu shot. They didn't used to say that. But now all pregnant women must have flu shots. All pregnant women must have all kinds of vaccines. I mean, they don't care. It's like they've thrown that whole thing out the window when you're pregnant. You should just have everything, take everything, eat everything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that they make these women go to their doctors for these checkups all the time. It's like in the old days, women just had babies, you know?
How did we ever make it to live this long without 70,000 chemicals in our environment and all these food additives? And I mean, I just don't know how we survived all this time.
Forget that Vice President Dan Quayle, known for being an idiot, his family has a major, major share in Eli Lilly, and they got George H.W. Bush's first major job after leaving the CIA directorship right there at Eli Lilly. Was it board of directors or some position like that?
So have you guys looked into the latest going on with GMO labeling laws?
Yeah, of course, that's an ongoing battle. And basically, Prop 37 was a major line in the sand. And polls showed ahead of the vote in California for mandatory labeling that the public wanted it. It was going to pass, basically. And then the industry, from Monsanto on down to the potato chip and soft drink and snack food companies, and just the larger grocery association, they threw down major, major money, I think upwards of $50 million to defeat it. And lo and behold, the polls flipped around and the thing was mysteriously defeated. And after that, the companies got together and had secret meetings amongst the grocery manufacturers and the biotech and the pesticide makers. Oh, but also with the organic companies. And they hammered out a deal that they didn't want to keep paying for these battles state by state. And so what they want a mandatory federal labeling law that will be voluntary.
It will be voluntary.
Oh, my God.
So it's not even going to be a real law. It's going to be ridiculous. And on top of that, they're going to be able to put things in there that are going to be exempt, like high fructose corn syrup and stuff like that. That's going to be exempted out. So this isn't even going to be a real law, but the whole reason they're trying to get it passed that way is because then it will preempt any state from passing a law.
They want to preempt the state laws. And they fought again in Washington state to defeat labeling. They barely got that through, spent more millions. But laws have passed in Connecticut, and one just passed a day or two ago, or last week rather, in Maine. So Connecticut and Maine with labeling laws, but major caveats on those labeling laws. They won't go into effect until at least five states in the Northeast also pass that law. So they now have two states, but they have to have a total population of 20 million people. Because they're afraid of getting sued by Monsanto.
It's because they're, yeah. See, and it stinks. I mean, the two states that have passed, Connecticut and Maine, you've got 5 million people there. So unless they get a big state, they got to get something like New York or something going on, or else this isn't even going to pass. But the reason one state won't just go it alone is because Monsanto threatened to sue. I think they threatened to sue. Was it Vermont they threatened to sue? They threatened to sue a state recently that was going to try and do a labeling law. They said they were just going to sue the whole state. And the interesting thing about that is they were going to sue them for violating free speech. That was going to be the suit. Violating free speech and interstate commerce provisions. And so somehow knowing what's in your food is unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional for you to know what's in your food, basically.
These people are gangsters, you know?
Our government is corporations, essentially, yep. is really just what it is. It's not really a government. It's the United Corporations of America.
Well, it's a cartel. You get to eat a basket of the oligopoly. They have some inner fighting and a little bit of minor competition, but basically, you better shut up and eat it. And you better invest your money with their stocks, too.
So let's give them more power, because everyone wants socialism now, apparently. Collectivism, bring it on in. It's going to make it all better, right?
Oh, yeah. Good old socialism. Well, you know, we've had a lot of ideological battles, right? The word communism is definitely a loaded word. It's one of the worst epithets you could throw from some people's point of view. For others, it's a utopian future. But if we peel that away, we're talking about collectivism, as people like G. Edward Griffin have made very clear. And I did an article a while back about the wolf in sheep's clothing of this whole thing, the Fabian socialist mentality behind this collectivism. Because outright communism has kind of accelerated and then crashed and burned with the Soviet Union. Chinese communism has gone soft, and it's now kind of a mixed market communism, more like crony capitalism we have. But it's not really that different from Nazism, which is national socialism. It's not really that different from fascism, where the government intervenes on behalf of the corporations. We're talking about the same type of thing. And something a lot of people have talked about George Orwell in 1984 and his warnings of the Big Brother state. But I think too many people have overlooked the fact that he was very closely associated with the Fabian socialists.
Yep.
Who date back to Aldous Huxley, H.G. Wells, George Bernard Shaw, a bunch of really famous writers who were advocating socialism for England. But look at the clues that are in 1984. He warns about the theory and practice of oligarchical collectivism. I don't know if you remember, but that was the name of the book written by the enemy in 1984, the ousted Goldstein, right?
Mm-hmm.
He warned about the theory and practice of oligarchical collectivism for the benefit of the oligarchy. And their whole party was ingsoc, that stands for English socialism. And the whole thing was about this incremental road to power. And that's what we're seeing now in the U.S. Obamacare is just a way to try to get people initially under the marketplace controlled by government, but Harry Reid and others have admitted they want actual government introduced health care so they can ration it and so that technocrats can rule with their computers and their calculations, and we get more and more unempowered by the whole system. We're forced to submit, we're forced to pay fines, and we lose more and more of our freedom as this rolls forward, so that we can all be under this collective net with this promise of the greater good. But as we know, it's all traded for lies. It's all vaporous, because these corporations are giving us a bum deal because they want to profit, because they're the real shareholders. It's not even their companies. It's those few families behind it who do have a conspiracy.
Yeah.
You know, we could talk about it in mysterious terms and, you know, discussing secret societies. I'm all for it. I think it's very interesting. It's not presented to the people. But we could talk about it in demystified terms as well. They have gotten in on it. I guess it's the George Carlin joke, right? How does that one go? The big club? They're in it, and we're not.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So
you're not in it.
Yeah. So what is this about fines involved for not signing up for Obamacare?
Well, the first year, I know that you've got to pay $95 if you're an individual and you don't purchase from their wonderful healthcare system on a website that didn't even work for several months and is very expensive from what I understand. I haven't really looked into it myself as an individual purchaser, but I think it's, what, $500 a month for a lot of people?
Oh,
more?
My God.
It's a lot more for some people. I mean, a lot of people are getting cancellation notices from their insurance, and they're being told they're going to pay between $9 and $13 to $1,400. I saw one $1,700 a month. I don't know how anyone's going to be able to afford. Basically, it's going to make it so that before you couldn't afford health insurance, now you're not going to be able to afford the fee because you couldn't afford health insurance.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Man.
So really, they're just going to be making money off that.
And the fee's going to ramp up over time as you continue to refuse to join into their system.
Yeah, because I've seen some states making Obamacare illegal. So I wonder how that's going to work.
Yeah, I think a lot of states are still fighting it. And I think it's, I hope they continue to fight it. I mean, I know we, obviously, we're starting out on our website. We haven't even been doing this for a year. And so we're not exactly sitting over here rolling in it. And so, I mean, it's going to be easier for me to pay a fine than it will be for me to afford health insurance, you know?
It turns into a big partisan battle. And, you know, a lot of young idealists who kind of went and left, they'll talk about how obviously everyone should have health care and be able to afford it. But as we know from talking about the food and medical system and the influence of these powerful families who de facto rule over us, who would want most of their health care? I don't want their cancer treatments.
I don't want it. Yep.
And that's the other thing. You shouldn't have to want it. But at the same time, I mean, we have a government with Kathleen Sebelius, the health and human health and senior services. What is it?
Human health wench.
Yeah, that lady. And she's up there talking about how, you know, yes, it's important that all men have maternity care and their health insurance. You know, it's like a single man needs to have maternity care. I mean, why is the government forcing this down our throats?
And then eventually they'll say, okay, the collective has spoken and everyone needs vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're the most vaccinated country. We have the most aggressive vaccine schedule, I mean, in the world, in this country. And that is what they're going to say. Or, you know, I mean, eventually, why can't they say, you know, obesity is now a disease. They've now classified obesity as a disease and everything. Why can't they start regulating what everybody eats? You know, because obesity is a disease and it costs money to fight diseases. So we're going to have to come in and make sure, or, you know, in the morning, we'll just make sure everyone gets up and, you know, does the Pledge of Allegiance and does, you know, half an hour of aerobics. I mean, the control will never end.
Exactly.
Look, 15 years ago, I had never heard of celiac disease until I found out my friend's mom had it. She had to explain to us what it was and why it was important. And then she was so delighted to find that a Swedish exchange student coming to our town had it too, so they could share common dietary strategies. 15 years later, every package on the store shelf will tell you whether or not it's gluten-free. And so many people have gluten intolerance. You know, Melissa's got it. And it's very common. We've got all these gastro issues going on. And they all have a common thread with the kind of foods we're being fed. A lot of it does have to do with the GMOs, but so much else has to do with the other chemicals that you see in the laundry list of ingredients, and not to mention the fast food that's being eaten and so forth. And it all goes back to who is producing this food and making these choices, because ordinary consumers have no expletive clue what these chemical ingredients being added are. They're just made to get used to them and made to get used to the idea that they can't pronounce most of the ingredients because they're from a chemistry lab. And yeah, I got to call out the example of Bill Gates. He's my favorite one to pick on, but he's indicative of this whole system because his board members, his financing, his funding, his investments through Cascade are completely up and down the Fortune 100 and to a larger extent the Fortune 500. He has major shares in nearly all aspects of the food supply, including Monsanto and genetically modified seeds. As a philanthropy, he's got the biggest amount of billions going towards charitable causes and global issues and using the United Nations to push genetically modified foods on third world countries, pushing vaccines very aggressively in the Western and developing world. And he's teamed up one for one with the Rockefeller Foundation agenda, meets in secret with David Rockefeller, Ted Turner, George Soros, other people of their ilk on the billionaire level who want to control the population, admit it, talk about it, fund ways to decrease the population, and they all own major shares of the food supply. They own shares in the geoengineering initiatives that are going on. They're behind all of it. And then someone like Bill Gates gets up and lectures also about how the healthcare system is supposed to be run and how he's a technocrat who has calculations about how if we kill Granny, that $1 million could pay for 10 teachers and jobs. Revitalize the education system. Jeez. Oh, and he's funding Common Core and trying to change the education system as well. He's behind the scenes along with these other billionaires.
Completely
and
outside
secret
of
families,
the democratic process.
Completely just unelected.
Throwing money at everything.
Didn't even finish college. And he knows everything, has the answer to it all. Why do you think that is? You know, who is he taking orders from? And whose interest is he representing? It's astounding how much control some of these families have, how pervasive their tentacles are in reaching into so many aspects of life.
Oh, yeah, it's disgusting. So how do you think we should fight this then?
Well, we have to stop giving up power to Washington in the case of U.S. and globally to all these governments. I mean, the EU is a total monster. We have to advocate that, but don't waste too much time in the political system. It's spinning your wheels. Say no to it. Don't vote for it. Don't agree to fund it. But spend most of your time trying to take back your own power, re-empower yourself, however you could figure it out. For me personally, for Melissa and I, we've been looking at food strategies, healthy foods to eat. We've been trying to juice fresh organic vegetables. We're looking at growing our own garden. We just started brewing kombucha, which is a major immune system booster. It's great for the digestive system, and it's supposed to detoxify against a laundry list of these long chemicals that we've been talking about that's in the food and the water and the air and everything.
Weren't you just reading to me today that Ronald Reagan, when he had cancer or something, they were giving it to him?
Reportedly,
as a treatment?
He helped, he nipped some cancer in the bud using some kombucha. I couldn't substantiate that for you, but I have read a lot about kombucha, and it's major involved in just boosting your whole system that is being ripped apart from modern day life. I'm sorry, it's living this industrialized life. I like the conveniences too, but we have to turn it off at some point.
But we're giving up all of our control to it. I mean, and every day you flip on the news and it's like, and now they're going to make food printers. Okay, great. So eventually we'll just have this like formless glop that we stick into a machine and it makes the, you know, makes it look like something that looks like
green
food. We'll have even less control over what's in our food. I mean, it's amazing. And they just keep saying more GMOs and more pesticides and here's some more chemicals. And it's getting more centralized and more concentrated. And I mean, eventually I don't think people are going to even know it all. I don't think people know now what's on the end of their fork. But I think it's going to get much worse.
And it's obviously more than just the food, but we've got to culturally take back what we've given away to the system.
I think the reason we focus on the food so much is because of the health issues. I mean, I feel like everyone says, why are people asleep? Why don't people get it? Why is it everyone just a bunch of zombies walking around with smartphones and they don't know what's going on? And I think number one, it's because their bodies are being filled with crap. And then everything stops working properly. And
exactly.
Then
you have to be healthy to be able to think straight.
Exactly.
To be able to even hear the truth.
The television on top of that. So you've got a lot of brainwashing going on.
Convenience has gone a long way because we've let the media do the thinking for us. And we've accepted their kind of multiple choices of options. And like, this looks better than this. And this brand appeals to me. But we've stopped actually doing our own thinking. Got to educate ourselves.
And that's the biggest way. We're not going to get inside this system and change it.
No.
I mean, this thing is a runaway train monster.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Titanic in slow motion. I mean, that's what it is. They're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
So. Yep. Do you guys notice, too, it seems like we're almost splitting off into two different species on this planet?
Well, that's something that's been talked about. And you see it again with the food. Even if organic lived up to what it was supposed to be, and you could just go to the grocery store and choose to buy only organic instead of the other stuff that has unlabeled GMOs. It's a whole money game, right? I mean, it's very expensive.
And then you still have to place your trust in the USDA on what they're certifying as organic and who can afford that label to begin with. And these monster, you know, organic farms are basically run by the same people or the same kinds of people that run conventional farms. They're not really in it for, like, you know, the philosophy behind organic and what that means to people. They're in it to make money. So,
well, it's about transhumanism at the end of the day.
That's right.
I mean, it's, they want to facilitate the new breakoff species and let everyone else wither away or be kind of a general population slave class or just kind of a pet class, they call it sometimes.
They want to keep you in your animal mind so then they can control you easily.
Going back to T.H. Huxley, who was Darwin's bullfrog, right? He popularized Darwin's theories of evolution. He was a major proponent of eugenics. They all were. That was the eugenics crowd that came out of Francis Galton's stuff. And he was one. He was the first person I'm aware of, anyway, to coin the term bioethics, which I believe he meant is that it's ethical to replace superior beings with inferior beings. That's really what's behind a lot of your eugenics philosophy. They want to replace people with people who are taking these upgrades, who are joining that system that they're building, who are willing to go along with that. And I think a lot of the people who go along, though, are going to be sold short. They won't be able to afford some of the upgrades eventually. They won't be desired because they're intellectually stunted and not very creative people. And it's just going to be a very few people at the top.
Well,
we really
yeah.
carry this
I mean,
forward. But
that translates today into the president's ethics panel, which recently voted that it's okay to test anthrax vaccines on babies. So
jeez.
They've ethically decided that it's ethical to do that. That's horrifying. So,
well, as we begin to wind down, I wanted you guys to touch upon, and I know we've been touching upon this, but the trifecta of doom, which is surrounding the control of modern life. Tell us how technology, GMOs, and Agenda 21 all connect together.
Well, we've touched upon some of it. Of course, the food that we eat is part and parcel with the technology that's becoming part of us, that's surrounding us, that now we're meant to imitate the computers and the technology and this more kind of refined lifestyle. We're not supposed to imitate older cultures or the image of God or something. We're supposed to become one with this technology. And we're seeing that as over the past 50, 60, 100 years, we've been integrated into cities and we're becoming like little dots on the circuit board. And we're supposed to live in neat little grids and stack up in skyscrapers. And Agenda 21 is unfolding in America and in similar ways around the world. It's unfolding a network of cities. I don't know if you remember the movie Rollerball. That was a place where in the future, a dystopia where nations had fallen off. If they existed at all, mm-hmm. it was only a name. Cities, the connection of cities, the network of cities was all that mattered. And they had sports teams to keep the city populations going. But they're building a network of highly centralized cities. They're going to double the size of most existing cities right now, empty out the smaller cities, empty out the countryside, take it over for their mega agricultural building, and they're going to get people to live on less in smaller spaces for more money and take these rail systems or whatever they're building around the country in these high rails. We don't have rail systems here like in Europe. I'm sure you're aware of that. It's kind of a new thing for us, and it's going to displace a lot of the old ways, buildings and people and places where people live.
And by doing that, they're going to be able to control travel. But yeah, they want to double all of these mega regions. I think it's, is it 11 mega regions? 10 or 11 mega regions?
Something like that,
by 2050.
Yeah.
They want to double what's already existing in there. And at the same time, our government is funding smart city projects in other countries, which are basically these technological smart grids where everything in a city is controlled by smart tech. So, I mean, if you throw away your garbage, there's going to be microchips in there, and they're going to be able to analyze the data in real time of what you threw away, what you didn't recycle. I mean, when you take a shower, they're going to be able to analyze how much hot water you use.
Melissa, you've used up your allotments for hot water today, so it's
so
all done.
You're done. We're just going to shut you down. Well, they can. I mean, already we see stuff like that going on now where they raise the rates. They raise the rates in the wintertime really high if you want to use your heater, and they raise the rates in the summer if you want to use your air conditioning. But these smart cities that our government is, again, funding these studies, they call them, of this tech in other countries. I mean, they've even got it to where they put bands on the kids so you can see where your kid is at all times. I mean, your car is going to have a thing on it so they can tell how much gas you used, where you went. Although you probably won't even be driving a car because you'll be in some little, you know, electronic gadget that drives itself. You probably won't even get to actually drive, but everything will be controlled. Your entire house will be wired and everything you do will basically be monitored. And that's how these smart cities are going to be. I mean, people think they don't have freedom now or that freedom's in danger now. Look at some of these smart cities that are being built in other countries. They're insane.
You're going to have a ball and chain of data following you and you'll be penalized
essentially everywhere
if you
go.
Don't behave the way that you're expected to. Yeah. It's crazy. And in addition to the rail, they're building something called aero cities, airport cities, that are popping up in many of the biggest cities. And commerce in the future will be more and more based around those. And they're going to have people actually live in cities that are designed around the airports. And they'll do functional jobs to ship goods to and fro. Business people will jump right on a plane from one airport city, do business immediately in the airport of the other city, come back on these faster planes. And this is going to lead to more and more integration as the global world unfolds.
If you want to work in those, you're going to have to get one of those new, really super trendy tattoos, those chips that they've got going on that the DARPA's Regina Dugan, ex-DARPA Regina Dugan that works at Google subsidiary Motorola, that she's been talking about lately, how they've come up with these new things. You're going to have to get something like that if you want to work there.
And basically, it's foreseeable that the TSA will transform into more like a thought police patrolling these airport cities. And again, you're going to have to behave the way you're expected to in the technological society, or you won't fit in.
This is your new god. So obey and worship.
Basically. And then GMO on top of all of that. I mean, once they can control they've got the Terminator seeds, they're patenting the seeds. Once they can control all the food production. And then on top of that, even the GMO itself, when you eat it, I mean, it's switched. They don't know what they're doing with all this stuff. They have never done these long-term studies. We're all part of a great science experiment right now just by people eating it.
They're mutating people, and they're going to keep the ones they want.
Yeah, they're going to, whoever's left after they eat all this pesticide laden,
it won't just be the best people either. I think they want some dumbed down, weird mutant people.
But it's going into people's bodies, and it's switching off and on things that wouldn't normally be switched on, and that's why you're seeing all this sickness and high levels of allergies. And we just got done watching, like I said, I guess I talked about this already, but I can't get over it because it's blowing my mind, on Jeffrey Smith's genetic roulette. Right. He talked about how they've also seen in the GMO food a new, they don't even know how to classify it. It's not a bacteria.
It's
not a virus. They don't really know what it is, but it's in this genetically modified food and it's causing spontaneous abortions in animals. So, and that's widespread, and it's something that they're studying right now, and and anytime anyone talks about it, I think they pretty much try to completely discredit that person, but it's some new organism, basically, that they found in this genetically modified food that's causing that. So that's insane.
So you have lunch at the diner from aliens, and the thing pops out of your stomach.
Oh, God. But I mean, you know, it's like, eat your GMO, wear your smart bracelet or your, you know, Mark of the Beast band or whatever you're going to do, and basically have everything you do tracked, traced, and controlled. That's what the trifecta of doom essentially is, and that's what I feel like we're living in right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, here in Austin, we're a star beta, Agenda 21 city here, and so we see it all the time when we're driving around. Like, they've completely just taken out businesses on whole blocks so they can put in these 5-6-story buildings with businesses at the bottom, basically like shop houses, like you work downstairs and you live upstairs. And they have these little teeny, you know, balconies on it where you could maybe fit maybe your bicycle
that you're definitely going to be riding. The updated gulags, you know?
Yeah, I guess you can put your baby in the closet or the bathtub or something because you're going to be living in a really small space. And I mean, in the bigger cities like New York, they're starting off in cities like New York City where people expect to have small space anyway, but they're putting in micro apartments where you get maybe 250 square feet, you know, and I guess you just live your whole life in a closet.
Revolt, so. People, revolt. Why are people so quiet? Why do they just put up with it?
And that's the whole point you made earlier about a society splitting off into two groups, because there are people that are aware of what's going on. They've shut their television off. They're not going to eat this crap, and they're done. And more and more of us are waking up all the time to this and saying, I'm not doing this anymore. What the hell? Like, I don't want to get cancer when I'm 30, but there's just another segment of society altogether that's basically ghosting through their day. And I see it all the time. It's just groups of people, like we'll go out to eat, rarely, but we will go out to eat at a restaurant and there'll be like a table full of people. And you know someone's sitting next to you because you can sense another person's presence, but you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And when you look, it's because their faces are all in their cell phone. They have no idea what's going on. They don't even know what they're putting in their mouth. And, and then all of a sudden you get cancer when you're 45, and I guess you just expect it because that's just what everyone's doing. And what's the tipping point going to be, I guess, is always our question. We ask each other that all the time because these rates are so high, and they're just getting higher. It's astronomical. And like he said, just with the gluten intolerance, I mean, back in the 1950s, the military did a study. It was like 1 in 50,000 people that ever had that. It was super rare. Mm-hmm. Now there's whole stores dedicated to buying gluten-free food. Yeah. So it's problem, reaction, solution, because they're making money on the way, down, like they made it on the way up. But I mean, eventually, what are we going to eat? I mean, I cry sometimes when I go to the grocery store.
Yeah, I know. I feel you.
It's just frustrating.
I've been doing a local CSA veggie share. I know a lot of cities have that. So you can buy direct from the farm, and you're supporting good people, and you can actually see where the food grows. I mean, that's a good option.
Yeah, we've just recently started looking into this co-op that we've been going to. We're going to join, which sources a lot of their stuff locally. But I mean, it's, and then we found out recently that they're putting the biosolids, the waste matter, they go and clean that and process that, all your wastewater, everything that's being flushed down the drains, and they turn around and turn that into a biosolid fertilizer, and they sell that to organic. So it's like, and then there are people saying, well, people have used, human
night soil
for this for a really long time. That's been done for hundreds of years. Yeah, but we didn't have, all this pharmaceuticals and pesticides and chemicals,
we're
that
dirty.
People are taking today. You don't want to turn around, concentrate that, and dump that on your food. I mean, then we found out about that. It's like every day something else. And I just, and the other day, Aaron's like, do you want to become Amish?
Yeah, but the government doesn't even let them be either.
No, they're not allowed to be either.
I thought we had religious rights here, but I guess not.
I thought we had rights here, period. Yeah. I guess not.
Sorry, I cut you off a while ago. I don't know what you were going to say there.
I just think the only good news is that a lot of these health issues are reversible if you really do get off these foods and find some of the good stuff and start educating yourself on what that means. And the other thing is, educating yourself is this great thing because these systems of control hate enlightened people. And it's amazing to try to become enlightened. I don't claim to be enlightened, but I can see where that path leads. And if we have populations of many enlightened people, at some point, things are going to have to turn around because they can't handle large populations of enlightened people. They can only handle them when they're isolated and spread out and rare. And if we use the internet or just, whatever, it's possible to turn around. Now, we're going to have to decentralize and disengage from this all-encompassing New World Order type system at some point to some degree. Total disengagement, total decentralization, it's up for argument. We'll see what happens. But it's got to be less than the nearly total control that they're going for right now. It's just not going to work. It's horrible.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, guys. I want to thank you for all your time today and all the great articles you guys are writing.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, thanks for having us on.
We're trying.
It's great to finally meet Red Ice Creations. So.
TrueStreamMedia.com is a website. Anything else you guys would like to mention?
That's about it for today.
I think we're good. Thank you so much for having us on. We appreciate it. And I guess I would want to say, please don't take our word for it. Everything we write about, go look up what we're talking about and double check us too, and then enlighten yourself.
Okay, that's it for now. I'm going to leave you all with a fitting song by the Animaniacs called Be Careful What You Eat.
Fear not, my little bottomless sib. Modern food technology has the answer. Grab all you want. We got coupons. Hey, let's get some ice cream.
How about this one? Pistachio Almond Fruit Fudge Butterscotch Delight.
Ingredients. Zinc trisodium aspartate, sorbitol, and bisulfate. oxide beta-carotene, lactic acid carabine. Grade A milk emulsified, maltodextrin alkalide, silicon dioxide, lots of sugar.
Hey, all right!
Calcified synthetic salt, artificial barley malt, glycerin and aspartate, folic acid.
That tastes great!
Monosodium glutamate, dehydrated calcium, soybean oil, butter fat, caramel sensor,
all of that.
Hooray for sugar, cause we love it. Chocolate chips, we want more of it. Cakes and ice cream, want to shove it down our throats real fast. Here's a candy bar, you tried it?
Hey, let's all see what's inside it.
Gelatinized triglycerin, phosphate, soybean, lecithin, deoxylite, trisilicon, dipped in chocolate.
Bring it on!
Citrus enzymes, BHT, powdered milk.
Sounds good to me!
Baking soda, carob gum, carbohydrate.
Yummy, yum!
Monosodium glutamate, zinc disodium alginate, whole grain flour, yeast, and fat.
Time to eat it, I'll do that.
We like sweets a lot, so give us all you got, and we'll stuff them in our bodies till they make our insides rot.